Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless
you. A poll question. How many of you have ever been frustrated with your cell phone? Anybody been frustrated? Okay. All right, good. I had an interesting thing that happened. I never thought I would have had have to experience with my cell phone. A couple weeks ago, I was going down for an MRI, and I had to give them, even though they had all my information, you had to produce your insurance card. And I have my insurance card basically saved as a photo on my phone. And they were like, well, you can just, you know, send it via PDF or email it to us. I was like, great. So I'm scrolling through my phone, trying to bring it up. And I can't find it. And I'm like, wait a minute, I got all this stuff, and I have even an app that keeps those things organized that I use quite often, just right there at my fingertips. And it wasn't there. I was like, I didn't erase it. I know it's there. In fact, I just remember getting a new card and doing all that and encoding those things. And so I was really frustrated, and the person was getting irritated with me, and I said, well, I'll just fill out the rest of the stuff, and I'll sit down, and I'll find it, and I'll get it emailed to you. So I explored all the files, and it wasn't there. And lo and behold, my phone doesn't have a ton of storage, but it's got an SD card slot. And so I looked, and it wasn't seeing the SD card. And all of my data was on that SD card. So I did all the troubleshooting, removed the SD card, put it back. I put the SD card in my computer, and I could see it in there. So now I'm really frustrated. And I finally found the issue. The issue was somehow along the way, one of the apps had downloaded something, and it corrupted the file system so that my phone couldn't read the SD card, and there was only one solution for that SD card to be used in that phone. It had to be something called reformatted. And when you reformat something, you erase everything. Now, I thought about that this week, and we're going to get to that in a moment, because when you reformat something, you totally erase it and you start over. You don't add something new. You don't go back and write over a system. You erase everything, and then you start it from scratch, all brand new. Keep that in the back of your mind, because we are concluding our series in Leviticus. We've called this series The Law of the Shadow. I've joked about it being the broccoli series, and I've gotten every week people who tell me, well, I love broccoli. So we're no longer going to call it the broccoli series. What's a gross vegetable that's good for you? How about kale? Kale? You like kale? Okay, kale, we can all agree. We hate kale. Good. Boo. Awful kale. This has been our kale series. Okay, but it's actually been really good if you go through, because it's important for us to understand. You can't understand the new covenant thoroughly if you do not understand the old covenant. And I mentioned with you when we first started that there's a very interesting structure when you break down and you graph out, and I know that seems kind of weird, the book of Leviticus. So let's look here. The book of Leviticus is broken down into basically four subjects. And you begin with the first and the last, which is the ritual sacrifices and the ritual feasts. And the ritual sacrifices, which we talked about the first week, they're hard to understand, but they're a way for a people, an unholy people, to say to a holy God, I'm sorry, and how can I restore fellowship? And the way that God had offered is to say that something has to die so that there can be a substitute. I'm going to allow an animal to substitute, to take the punishment that the sin has earned. Okay? So it's also these sacrifices, and there's also sacrifices besides the ones that say, I'm sorry, ones that say, thank you. These are the grain offerings and the fellowship offerings, which we give back to God. And these are all mirrored in the ritual feasts, which are set around that we need to remember and celebrate God's goodness and all the various things that He's done for us. These feasts are talked about in chapters 23 through 25. And an interesting thing, I was listening to a Messianic Jewish preacher whom I respect greatly. And he was jokingly, he said, if you want to understand every single feast, every one of the feasts, it's basically can be broken down into this statement. They tried to kill us, we won, let's eat. That's basically it. If you want to look at it, you look at all of them. They tried to kill us, we won, let's eat. So, and we can almost take that into the new covenant. Satan tried to kill us, Jesus won, let's eat. That's why churches like potlucks. No, it's not. So, but it's one of the things that we do like. Now, the next part we looked at, which you move in. So you have on the outside the ritual sacrifices and ritual feasts. Then you move in and we have the priesthood. And the Levitical priesthood, we looked in chapters 8 through 10. Then we looked at the qualifications in chapters 21 and 22. And so we're kind of moving in and we're bookending and we're getting towards something. And all of these, as we looked in the book of Hebrews, were pointing to something greater. That Jesus was our high priest and Jesus was our perfect atoning sacrifice. And then last week, we looked at God's holiness. These ritual purity laws in chapters 11 through 15, and we kind of brought them in that we have, God wants us to avoid death and avoid becoming unclean by coming in contact with something. And so the law tells us that if something clean comes in contact with something unclean, it makes us unclean. And then Jesus comes on and says, look, I'm the whole nother level of purity. I'm the refining fire. And so if I, something clean, come in contact with you, something unclean, I can impute my righteousness to you. Isn't that awesome? So instead of being contaminated by the world, we can be transformed and purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And how this has an effect on us is in chapters 18 through 20, where we basically brought into this concept that we as God's people are called to be unique people unto God. We're called to live with different values, like we talked about last week, different consumptions. We shouldn't be intaking the same things as the world, gang. We shouldn't be. In all areas of our lives, in our viewing, in our entertainment, in what we consider as right, we shouldn't be consuming the same things as the world, and that relates to our actions. And now, in the very center of the book of Leviticus is what I believe it's really all about, this thing called the Day of Atonement, if you click there. Yeah, the Day of Atonement in chapters 16 and 17. Now, at the very end, some people say, well, there's more than 25 chapters. If you look at the very end, it's kind of a tag to say, you really should do this. There's blessings if you hold on to these laws and you hold on to what God has presented. So let's jump into understanding a couple of things about the Day of Atonement. And there's a lot of different ways that we could take this. This is a great Easter message. But we're going to take it a little bit different today because I want us to have some things that we can apply in our lives. And there's some things that a lot of us don't understand. So when we think of the Day of Atonement, most of us just consider, okay, you know, that there was some type of an offering or, you know, a lamb or something like that. And we don't realize that there are two goats at the center of the Day of Atonement. And we need to talk about these things, okay? So Leviticus chapter 16, verse 6 through 10, get ready for some kale. Here we go. Aaron shall offer, as this is instructions to the priest about what to do during this Day of Atonement. He's to come together. We pick it up here in chapter 16. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. And then he shall take the two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one for the Lord and the other lot for Azazel. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord and use it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness of Azazel. Okay, so what are we saying here? Basically, in the Day of Atonement, Aaron was to dress in a very unique way. It wasn't all the pomp and circumstance, but it was a very unique way that Aaron was to dress, and he was to go in, and he was to offer his sacrifice for him and for his family. But then he was also to take these two goats, and he was to offer this one goat, and its blood was, we're going to read a little bit what happened to that one. And then the second one, something was to happen, and this goat was to go free. And that's kind of an odd thing for us to comprehend. The deal is this. Is that sin has to be dealt with. Okay? Sin has to be dealt with. And now I know you said, well, we just had all of these verses in the first half of the book and all of these different offerings and all of these different sacrifices. Hasn't sin been dealt with? Well, yes and no. I know that we tried to fix sin. I mean, most of us, we try to fix sin in a lot of the ways that we deal with it. The most popular for Christians today. And I have this when I hear it all the time when people come in and talk with me about something they're struggling. The very first thing that we all deal with, I hope you agree with me, is this. We try to justify it. Most of us try to justify our poor behavior. Anybody else besides me? Because I know I do. The minute that something in my heart begins to convict me, there's something that wants to look and see what all of you all are doing and then make myself feel pretty good or feel pretty bad. Okay, yeah, I used the Lord's name in vain. Yeah, I cursed at a guy, but he had it coming to him. He cut me off in traffic. Okay, it's really his fault. Yeah, I've had lustful thoughts, but it's my wife's fault for not recognizing all of my needs. Or yeah, I dream about being a character in my soap opera or my romance novels, but it's my husband's fault for not being more caring. And so we justify things that happen in our lives. We compare ourselves to others. We say, well, everyone else is doing it. Sometimes we try to look for a validation to our sin. We say things like the Bible is an old book that is irrelevant. And if it were written today, then none of those things that society is accepting that I may struggle with, those wouldn't be in there. So as if we can somehow consider the thought of God and we can rewrite things. We can rewrite things and tell God what His business is. That's one way. And I recognize myself in a lot of those. Does anybody else recognize yourself in those? You try to validate? Okay. Well, here's the other thing. The other thing that I really like to do is I try to cover my sin myself. I try to, and we've talked about this a lot during this series. How do we desire to cover it? I won't tithe, but I'll volunteer some. Okay, I'm going to choose what I'm going to find a law that I struggle with. I'm going to find an instruction of Christ that I struggle with, and then I'm going to find some other way that I can fix it in my own way. That's a rough one, gang. You know, I'll try to volunteer. I'll try to give some extra time. I don't really, you know, I want to do something that makes me look good. I want to tell you that in doing things like this, it's literally, like we read a few weeks ago, as bringing a strange fire before the Lord. When God says, hey, this is what I want from you, and we decide, yeah, I know that this is what you want, but here's what I'm willing to give you. We are literally doing what Aaron's sons did. We are offering before the Lord figuratively an unauthorized fire. Now, I just kind of went deep on you there. And I want you to consider that. We try to cover our sins ourselves. We try to make amends. And here's the problem, guys, is sin affects everything around us, not just the sinner. When you sin against a brother or a sister, you have poisoned the atmosphere and violated the trust. I mean, we see this all the time. I have a certain friend. Oh, my heavens. Thank heavens I don't see this person very often. But they love every time they come. Oh, hey, how are you? And they always want to come and talk. And you know what they love to tell me? They want to tell me every negative thing that they've seen any of our church family do. Got quiet in here. Everybody's like, are they talking about me? I'm not going to tell you who they're talking about. But it drives me crazy. They just can't wait to come and to say, well, you know, I saw one of your members and they were blah, 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 blah. Well, I saw your member and they were drunk and they were blah, blah, blah. And I saw one of that. And I'm just like, smack you, shut up. And then I'm going to have the problem. Why is this? And so as I think about this, I get it. I understand these. But it's like this. We don't understand that our sin affects other people. If I treat somebody poorly, which there are times I lose my temper. There are times I have bad days. There are times I say things I wish I didn't. And when we have this happen, we hurt the relationship. And yes, we can ask for forgiveness. And yes, we can be forgiven. But it doesn't change the fact that the relationship is odd. How many of you have ever been in a fight with somebody? Come on, just ask that question. You ever been in a fight with somebody? An argument? Not like a fist fight. Been in an argument. And have you said you're sorry? Or they said that they're sorry? And supposedly everything was all right. And everything was not all right. Oh, come on. What was in the communion today? You're all like just totally. Was it prune juice? Goodness gracious. Look, gang. Think about this. There are some things in our, when you have an issue with somebody, you can, on the surface, take care of it, but the atmosphere is poisoned. We say things like this: I forgive you, but I'm never going to trust them again. Am I in the house yet? Sin poisons the atmosphere. It poisons the entire atmosphere. We have this happen all of the time. And so to all of these issues, to all of these times where we have these violations of trust, we have these other areas that seem to seep in, God has a specific way to deal with sin's consequence. That's my first point today. God has a specific, everybody say specific. He's got a specific way to deal with sin's consequence. And here's why. Because sin separates us. Sin absolutely separates individuals. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Sin happens in the garden. First separation, Adam and Eve away from God. Second separation, Adam and Eve from each other. Well, it was what she did. It was what he did. It was what the snake did. I'm sure that night dinner was a lot of fun. Have you ever thought about that night? Here's supper. You're not talking. Well, honey, I can't believe you threw me under the bus. Yeah, That's how that one went. Okay. Let's go on. So what is God's response? God's response is something called atonement. And atonement means to cover. He has a specific way to deal with sin's consequences. It has to be covered. So Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make," what's that word? Atonement. "To cover for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life." So once a year, on this day of atonement, the high priest would offer a heifer for himself and then take these two goats. And one, here's what we see happen to the one. Leviticus 16, 15 through 16. "Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil." So he's in the Holy of Holies. "And do this with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so he shall do for the tent of meeting which dwells with them in the midst of their uncleanness." So, sin brings uncleanness into the camp. Have you ever thought about this? Why are they sprinkling blood all over the place? Because sin doesn't just affect you. Your sin does not. And I get it. People think, well, it's just my secret sin and no one else knows about it. Yeah, they do. Somebody knows. Well, my internet browser is absolutely private. No, it's not. Trust me, there are other eyes watching. There are other eyes watching. Well, the things that I do out of town, you know, no, trust me. Trust me, somebody always sees. Good heavens, in this day and this age of technology, we should recognize somebody always sees. And regardless of somebody, God always sees. One of the images that we find out from the prophets of God is these covered, you know, these creatures are covered with eyes. There's an understanding for that. The eyes of the Lord are in all places. I know. I highlighted there, thus he shall make atonement for the holy place. Wait a minute, shouldn't he be making atonement for the people? He's making atonement for the holy place. In other words, when we sin and we're part of the family of God, our sin affects the family of God. Boy, I need to get that through our head today. Because when he goes and he sprinkles it on the mercy seat, and then he's sprinkling it before there. There's blood spread around, gang, because God wants to fix the atmosphere. And we want to keep everything in our own little lanes. And God wants to affect every area of your life. Every area of your life. Going back to my little SD card. The whole SD card needed reformatted, not the one little section that had a problem. Colossians. Here's what this was. All of these things, though, this disc is corrupt. It's been broken down because of the contamination of sin. My sin, your sin, it affects more than just you or me. It corrupts the entire camp. And so with atonement, the disc is reformatted. It was corrupted and now it is usable because it's reformatted. And all of this is just a shadow. It couldn't really do the trick. That's what Hebrews lets us know. It was pushing us towards the real thing. Colossians chapter 2 lets us know this, that these are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to who? Understand all of this. That's what we read in Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, was that all of this was a type and a shadow, but Jesus was the real thing. So how many of you have ever been hurt by somebody? And again, when you understand that this relationship is awkward, there has to be a remedy. And you have to get beyond saying, I can never forgive them. Or some of us have to deal with the harder one, which is I can never forgive myself. That's a very serious one a lot of people deal with. Yeah, I can accept that other people are imperfect, but boy, I can't use that lens on myself. And so we deal with our own guilt, and we think that we can only go a certain way. And we will allow the blood of Jesus Christ to deal with the relationship, but we won't let the blood of Jesus Christ deal with how we view ourselves. Big one, gang. You don't think the Day of Atonement has to do with atoning you to yourself as well? Why do you think Jesus is talking about love your neighbor as yourself? That we need to have a healthy image to ourselves. Well, Pastor, you've taken a huge left turn here. Yeah, because all of your disc needs reformatted, gang. Every area of your life needs reformatted. Look at Leviticus chapter 16, because now we're going to get to the second goat. Leviticus 16, 20 through 22. And when he has made an end of the atoning for the holy place and the tent of the meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. Then the goat shall bear their iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat free in the wilderness. This is what we know as the scapegoat. How many of you have ever heard the word scapegoat? This is where you get it from. The scapegoat. Scapegoat's always, you know, something where you have something going on and you got to pin it on somebody. That person's the patsy. That person's the scapegoat. He's the person who's going to bear the brunt. Even though you may have a problem and he might not be the offender, but by heavens, he's going to be the one who's going to deal with it. And so the scapegoat is a very interesting thing, because the priest takes his hand, he places it upon his hand, and then imputes all. I mean, consider the weight of this. All of the sins and the iniquities of the people, and then they're going to send it away. What is the figurative meaning of all of this? Psalms 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. And gang, I need you to hear this. God doesn't want to just deal with the penalty and consequence of your sin. God wants to deal with the guilt of your sin. He wants to take sin away from us. And far too many Christians in our wonderful society today have adopted this philosophy that I just keep asking forgiveness, but I don't ever have change. Where do we get that from? You see, I'm just trying to fix one file. I'm not allowing my hard drive. Point two, God has a specific way to deal with sin's guilt. He wants to remove it. He wants to take it away. He wants to not just forgive you of your sin. He wants to remove sin from your life. The scapegoat is a really interesting analogy, and there's lots of different views. I mean, the fact that it lived, you know, Jesus took our sins. He paid the price, but he still lived. I mean, right? He came back to life. He still lived. We can kind of see the imagery there. We can also see the imagery that he goes out into the wilderness, that when Jesus died, Ephesians tells us that he who ascended is also he who descended, that if he went down and he took our sins out away from the presence of God, that's the worst wilderness that could ever be. When Jesus was on the cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's what happens with sin, is there's a separation from God, and Jesus took all of that and paid the fullness of sin's penalty for us, gang. God wants to remove our sin, not just cover it. So my friends, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 11. And let's see what all this can do for us. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In verse 9, in saying he ascended, what does it mean? But he had also descended to the lower parts of the earth. Who is descended? Is the one who also ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. I know that this is hard for us to understand, but the point being this, is that Jesus took our sins away, and God wants to remove sin from our life. He wants to remove it out of our life, and the only way that he can do this is not by following a bunch of rules. Brings me to my final point today. All of the types and shadows in Leviticus are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2 is our reformatting. And let's all read this together. It was our scripture today, and it's our focus of our conversation. Ready? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewal. You know what? Another word that we could use there is reformatting. The reformatting, the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect. What is good and acceptable and perfect. So gang, God can reformat your mind. Now, he does this through his Spirit. You see, we don't understand the fullness of what it means.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offers for all ages at 9:15.
You die.
Information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
My mind needs to be reformatted. I need all this garbage. Holy Spirit, reformat my mind. How I view others, how I view myself. You know, what is the thing that you've said it's impossible for God to do? What is the sin that you feel that you cannot forgive somebody for? What is the sin that you feel that you cannot overcome? Who's the person you say, I cannot forgive them? What's the thing that repeatedly trips you up and you've given up trying to fight it? What's the relationship that you've settled with being marred by sin's guilt? Look, when we study the Bible, lives are changed. And when we put our faith in God's word, it empowers us, and it is empowered by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to change us. So my friends and my church family today, if you're holding on to any of those things I just referred to, I got good news, because today is your day. Today is your day. Not only can sin be covered, it can be absolutely removed. It can be atoned for and removed from your life. And you think, no, that really can't. You got to stop that stinking thinking and reformat your mind. Allow the Holy Spirit to make you new. You can get this and you can leave guilt at the altar. Today, relationships can be restored. Today, you can experience deliverance. Today, you can be free. Because Jesus is your great high priest, He's the sacrificial lamb. And there's nothing more that we need than to believe Him to the utmost. You say, okay, I want that. I want that. How do I do it? It's very simple. Let Him become the center of your life. I believe that there are people here probably just need to rededicate their lives today, that they need to fill their mind with His thoughts and His words, not the accuser of the brethren. Reformat your mind. Let's stand to our feet.